Praise the Lord. That was beautiful. It reminds of Jesus' words. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Children, come on up. Any kids here today for Children's Church? Big kids? None. Okay, well, that's fine. Then you can imagine with me. Yeah, so pray for those families with kids. So you can imagine with me that we went on a journey and we gave to Pastor Dan a new name. Head honcho. Why might we do that? Why would you ever give to someone a new name? Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. The title of the message today is God Exalted Christ. Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11 are very simply about God's exaltation of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and God giving him a name, a new name along with the exaltation. Let's read what the Apostle Paul says to us here and think about what this means and why God is telling it to us. Philippians chapter 2 verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, we've been studying this book for a while. And oftentimes we'll begin with the context. I'm going to do the reverse today. We'll end with the context. I want to begin with the simple truth that you see plainly written in verse 9. God has highly exalted him. God has highly exalted him, meaning Christ. And to guide you this morning, we're going to ask a lot of questions, but three mainly. Those three questions are, what does this mean exactly that God has highly exalted Christ? Why did God do that? And why is he telling you today? So what does this mean exactly? It says in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted Christ. What does that mean? Well, to exalt someone meant to lift that person up to a position of honor. It's like giving a promotion. You might remember back the story of Joseph. In Joseph's day, Pharaoh highly exalted Joseph. And back in Genesis 41, it says this. Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over all my house. Pharaoh exalted Joseph to be over all of his house. And he said, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And to show everyone in the land that Pharaoh had exalted Joseph to the highest position, he took off his own ring, put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot and had everyone crying out before him, bow the knee, bow the knee. And thus Pharaoh set Joseph over all the land of Egypt. What does it mean that God has highly exalted Christ? It means he set him to the position of highest honor over others. Well, to what position did God exalt Jesus Christ? Before you answer, I want you to look at a couple of scriptures with me. Because we have a couple of questions that go along with this first one. You know, what does it mean that God exalted Christ? You know, to what position did God exalt him and to do what in that position? Turn with me back at Acts, back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching the gospel to all the Jews who were gathered in Jerusalem, and he speaks, as part of his preaching the gospel, he speaks to them about God's exaltation of Christ. And notice what he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. That means God has raised Jesus up from the dead. Then he says in verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God. This is the position to which God has exalted Jesus Christ. God exalted Christ all the way up to his throne, to where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And notice what else Peter says. Being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavenlies, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. What does it mean that God has highly exalted Jesus Christ? He has raised him up, not just from the dead, not just above the earth, but above the heavens, and has seated Jesus Christ on the throne in heaven to his right hand. And he declares, Peter declares, know this, that he is now Lord and Christ. He has now all authority over all. Turn to Acts 5, verse 31. Acts 5, verse 31. What does it mean that God has highly exalted Christ? Verse 31, him, speaking of Christ, God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. What does it mean that God has exalted Christ? He's raised him up to his right hand to be prince and savior. Prince is an interesting word. Archegos, originator. He has raised Christ up to the right hand to be the originator of something. Of what? Hebrews 2, verse 12 says that Hebrews 2, verse 10 says that he is the originator or captain of our salvation. He is the one who originates salvation. He's the one who grants it. And we just saw in Acts 2 and Acts 5, Christ is at the right hand of God pouring out the Spirit upon those who obey him. Christ is at the right hand of God granting repentance and forgiveness of sins. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. What does it mean that God has highly exalted him? Ephesians 1:20. 1:19 speaks about God's mighty power, which God worked that mighty power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. That means God the Father put everything under the feet of Christ and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What does it mean that God has highly exalted Christ? And in the verse in Philippians 2:9, it's hyper-exalted. Nowhere else in the Bible is found that same word. Other places you find the word for exalted, but in Philippians 2:9, God has hyper-exalted Christ. And we learn from Acts 2 and Acts 5 and Ephesians 1, he has exalted him to the highest place in all the heavens, above all principalities, all authorities, all powers, all names, and has given him to be the head over all to the church. It means that Christ has all authority in the church and all authority over all beings. One more verse. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. I like what the writer says here. After seven chapters of exalting Christ, he finally says in chapter 8, verse 1, now this is the main point. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Well, in chapters 1 through 7, the writer of Hebrews is saying, Don't you understand? Christ is above all the angels. That's chapters 1 and 2. Christ is above Moses, the greatest prophet of all time. That's chapter 3. Christ is above Aaron and all the priesthood. That's chapters 4, 5, 6. Christ is above Melchizedek, the great king in the Old Testament. That's Hebrews chapter 7. Christ is the greatest prophet, the greatest priest, the greatest king, and God has exalted him to that position. And now Christ is the greatest prophet of all. Truth is in him. Now Christ is the greatest priest of all. He alone is the way to God the Father. Christ is the greatest king of all. He alone has all authority. He is sovereign. God has highly exalted Christ to the position that is above all others. And to do what? This is amazing. God has exalted Christ to the highest position in the universe to do what? If you're still in Hebrews, you might glance at chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. God has highly exalted Jesus Christ to save. God has exalted Christ to save. He sent Christ into this world to be the Savior of sinners, and now he has exalted him to his own right hand to continue his saving work. And let me tell you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this is good news for you. It says that the one in whom you have believed, your Lord and Savior, has all authority, all power in all the heavens to bring you all the way through every trial and every circumstance, all the way to the kingdom. That's what it means. God has highly exalted Christ. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2. So what are we saying? What is the main point of what I've said so far? God has highly exalted Christ. To where? To the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, Hebrews 8:1. To the right hand of God, where he is now the greatest prophet, where he is now the greatest priest, where he is now the greatest king. No wonder the writer of Hebrews said, therefore we must pay much closer attention to him, to Christ. God has highly exalted Christ, put him in the position where he continues to save, where he grants repentance, where he grants forgiveness, and has given to him the name, notice Philippians verse 9, chapter 2, and has given him the name which is above every name. Has given whom the name which is above every name? Good. He's given to Jesus, if you go back to verse 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He's given to Christ Jesus the name that is above every name. Not only did he give this name to Christ Jesus, implied here is that he gave this to him at his exaltation. You know there was a name given to Christ when he was born, right? The name Jesus. Yahweh saves. That was his earthly name. But now God has highly exalted him and has given him the name above every name. What does it mean to give someone a name? To give someone a name is to give someone a title by which everyone is to recognize him. If you name your son Jake or Jordan or name your daughter Jennifer, you want everyone to call your son or daughter by the name that you gave them. If they say, hey, Fred, you'd say, no, my son's name is not Fred. Or if they say, hey, George, because a lot of people call Jordan George. We say, no, his name is not George, it's Jordan. God highly exalted Christ and gave him a name by which everyone should call him. What is that name? You might want to say the name is Jesus. No, this is a name which God gave to Jesus when he exalted him above the heavens. The name that he gave him is Lord. verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All the Old Testament saints knew the highest name above all other names was the name Yahweh, Jehovah, which in the Greek translation is translated Kurios. God gave to Jesus the name that is above every name, the name Kurios, the name Lord, so that everyone should agree with God that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what it means. God has highly exalted Christ. He's placed him in the highest position of honor in all the universe and given him the eternal name of God, Exodus 3, verses 14 to 17. God said the name by which he would be known in eternity was Jehovah, Yahweh, Lord. God has given that name to Jesus. Why? Why would God do that? Why would God give to Jesus the name Lord? It would be like if you were the captain, you give to somebody else the name captain and commander or something. Why would God do this? Verse 9 says, therefore, God has done this. God did this to honor Christ because of what Christ did to honor God. God did this to honor Christ because of what Christ did to honor God. What did Christ do to honor God? Verse 6. Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. We talked about this last time. There were three things that Christ did. First, when he was in the form of God, having all the attributes of God and being exactly equal to God, which means he is God. When he was exactly equal to God and in the form of God, he did not count that high position a thing to be grasped. Remember that? A snatched thing. He didn't count that as something that he had snatched for himself that he couldn't let go. Rather, what did he do? He emptied himself of that high position by taking on the form of a bondservant. In heaven, he was completely free and independent to do anything that he willed. When he took on the form of a bondservant, he emptied himself of that freedom and made himself completely dependent upon and obedient to the Father. He took on the form of a bondservant. Notice again verse 7. He made himself of no reputation. That means he emptied himself of that former position, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. In other words, he became just like one of us, taking on flesh and blood. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, implied even further. It was already humbling himself to go from heaven to earth. Now Christ humbled himself even further, becoming obedient until death, even the death of a cross. This is what Christ did to honor God the Father. This is what Christ did to glorify and exalt God. He came to reveal the character and nature of God to all the world. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son has exegeted him, John 1:18. The only begotten Son has manifested by coming in the flesh what the Father is like. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Exodus 34, 5 and 6. That is the glory of God in a sentence, and that's what Christ revealed. Christ came and in the flesh revealed the glory of God. And because of what Christ did to honor God, God also, notice it says in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him, meaning because of what Christ did to exalt God, God did this to exalt Christ. Lifted him up to the highest place in the heavens, even above the heavens, and gave him the name that is above all other names, the name Lord. God exalted him who humbled himself before him. There's another answer to the why question. Why did God do this? There was a purpose that God had for exalting Christ. For what purpose did God exalt Christ? This is still kind of question number two. Why? Well, God had a purpose in this. Take a look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, well, literally it reads that in the name of Jesus. This is not a reference to when. This is a reference to how. If you search through all the New Testament, every time the phrase in the name of Jesus is found, every time it refers to how something is done, not when. I know this sounds like it's saying that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. But actually, none of you believes that. None of you believes that it's at the sound of Jesus' name, everyone bow, because we don't all bow every time we hear the sound of his name. Okay? This does not mean that at the sound of the name Jesus, every knee should bow. It means in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. What does that mean? By his power and by his authority. You remember back in Acts 3 when Peter and John came to the temple and there was a lame man there? And Peter says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He didn't mean at the sound of the name Jesus. He meant by the power and authority of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. It's the exact same phrase here. Later, Peter says, don't marvel or look at us as though we by our own power have healed this man. In the name of Jesus, he walks. And later he says, in Jesus, he walks. And later he says, by Jesus, he walks. This is saying that God exalted Christ and gave him the name Lord, that in the name of Jesus, by his power and by his authority, every knee should bow. Remember when I read to you from Genesis 41, when Pharaoh put Joseph in second chariot, rode him around the kingdom of Egypt and said, bow the knee, bow the knee. That was an outward act of submission. That's what it means. By saying that every knee should bow, it's the same as saying every being should submit. That's what it means. Every being should submit in the name of Jesus. Of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. So who's in heaven? The holy angels. Myriads upon myriads, thousands upon thousands of angels. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. Along with all the spirits of just men made perfect. In other words, the spirits of the redeemed are all in heaven. God highly exalted Christ and gave him the name Lord, in order that all those who are in heaven, all those thousands of holy angels, and all those spirits of just men made perfect would submit to him. And of those on the earth. Well, who's on the earth? Well, right now, all of us, a lot of believers and a lot of unbelievers. But God has highly exalted Christ and given him the name above every name, Lord, so that everyone on the earth should submit to Jesus Christ, should bow the knee to him. And of those under the earth, who's under the earth? Who's under the earth? Dead people whose spirits are not in heaven? Fallen angels, the devil, demons, spirits of unjust men, the condemned? Why describe it this way? Of those in heaven, those on earth? Well, the ancients believed in a three-story universe. You know, like a three-story house, they believed in a three-story universe. And they expressed the totality of the universe in this way in common literature. Paul knew, he's speaking to people who they read. They know how people describe the universe. And people in those days described the universe as those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. That was the way to sum up all beings. Why has God highly exalted Christ? In order that in the name of Jesus, by his power and by his authority, every knee should bow of all beings in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And that in the name of Jesus, what else? Verse 11. In the name of Jesus, by his power and by his authority, every tongue should confess. That doesn't mean every language. It means every tongue. Every individual should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice, every tongue should confess. That means openly, publicly, without reservation. Everyone should admit, everyone should agree with what God has done, that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign, God above all. And notice, to the glory of God the Father. Think about this. What that's telling us is that it is to the glory of God the Father that Christ has been exalted to the highest place in heaven. Why would that be? Remember what Christ did. In order to honor God the Father in heaven, in order to reveal His glory to man, Christ humbled Himself and came down. Christ took on the form of a bondservant. Christ became obedient to the Father all the way to the point of death. Christ did that to glorify God the Father. What ought God to do? He ought to exalt His Son for having done that. And that's exactly what God did. God did this, which reveals more His glory. He sent His Son into the world to save the world. He exalted His Son again to the highest position in the heavens to save sinners. All of this is to the glory of God the Father. What Christ did was to the glory of God the Father, and what God did with Christ is to the glory of God the Father. And what we do with Christ, bowing to Him, submitting to Him as Lord, confessing Him as Lord, is to the glory of God the Father. It shows that God has changed us. Notice this as a purpose, right? At the beginning of verse 10, it says that, in order that. Brother John Rouse and I like to talk about some things we see in the Greek language, and after a purpose clause is the subjunctive, which means you can't be certain that this is going to happen based on what's written here. So when you read this in the Greek, you ask the question, will every knee bow and will every tongue confess? Because this tells us that it was God's purpose in exalting Christ that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. But the question is, will it happen? Turn back to Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Here the Lord speaks, and it's probable that Paul was quoting from Isaiah when he wrote Philippians 2, not quite word for word, but loosely paraphrasing. Take a look at Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look to me, the Lord speaking. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. This is God swearing an oath. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. In other words, what I say is going to happen is definitely going to happen. And what's going to happen? That to me every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess, literally, is what it says. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. Here, through the prophet Isaiah, God is saying, it's going to happen. Every knee of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow to the Lord, and every tongue will agree with God. So does that mean that everyone is going to be saved? Is that what that means? Look at the next verse, verse 24. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men should come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. Anyone who does not submit to Jesus Christ as Lord, anyone who does not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, but instead, in arrogance, stands against him, will be put to shame. There are two kinds of people on the earth today. There are those who willingly bow the knee to Jesus Christ, those who willingly submit to Him as Lord and who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There are others who do not. There are those who stand against God and against Christ. Let me speak a moment to you who are here today who don't know Christ. You have not bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. You have not submitted yourself to Him. You have not come to faith. Well, I have one thing to say to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you will be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, and you will be saved. God will grant you pardon. He, through Christ, will pour out His Spirit upon you. He will forgive you of all of your sins. You will find yourself joyfully, gladly, submitting yourself to the Son, Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. But don't leave this place today. Don't leave this place today stiffening your neck or hardening your heart against Jesus Christ. God is against the proud. That means He's in battle array against you if you will not submit to Jesus Christ. But He gives grace to the humble. And God's will for you today is that you would humble yourself before Almighty God and accept Jesus Christ. But is that why Paul put this here in Philippians 2? We come to our third question. Why is God telling you, you who believe? Because this letter is written to the saints in Christ Jesus. This letter is written to those who have bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. This is written to those who confess Jesus as Lord. This is written to you, beloved. Why would God tell you that He has highly exalted Christ because of what Christ did to honor Him? Why? I hope that you will write this down in your mind, if not on paper. God is telling you that He exalted Christ in order that you would humble yourself before God and become a bondservant of Christ to the church. God is telling you about how He exalted Christ to the highest place in heaven. He is telling you about how He gave Christ a name that is above every name in order that you would humble yourself before God and like Christ, become a bondservant of Christ to the church. Notice how Paul began this letter. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Paul begins the letter saying, I and Timothy, with whom I serve, we are bondservants of Jesus Christ to the church. Paul and Timothy both had given up freedoms to make themselves bondservants of Christ to the church, to the glory of God. This they did to exalt the God who had granted them salvation. Later in chapter 4 and chapter 3 also, Paul is going to talk about the position he had before, but now he counts it all as loss. He also talks about Timothy later in chapter 2. If you look down at verse 20, Paul says of Timothy, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, and the Spirit of God has preserved it for us with one main purpose. One main purpose. That every believer in Jesus Christ in the church would have the same mind. That every believer in Christ would have the same mind, that is, the mind of Jesus Christ. What is the mind of Christ? It is the mind of one who humbled himself and became a bondservant to the church. Christ gave himself up for the church. By this we know love. Right? How do we know agape love? By this we know agape love, that he gave his life for the brethren. We too ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. This whole section began at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. That's why God is telling you about this. And so the question for you to ask as a believer in Christ is, what would God say of my life? Would God say that I have humbled myself and become a bondservant of Christ to the church? Are you serving the brethren? Do you serve God by serving His people? Let's pray. Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ. We praise you and adore you for sending him into this world to save sinners. None of us are worthy of what Christ did. And yet we who have believed him have been completely transformed by your saving grace and by the redemption that's found in Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you and we adore you for exalting Jesus Christ to your right hand, that he might keep us, that he might pray for us and save us to the uttermost, because he's been raised high above the heavens and given authority over all things. We praise you and we thank you, Father, for the salvation that we have in Christ. But Father, keep us from the evil one who would tempt us to go the way of the world, who would tempt us to hang on to ourselves and pursue selfish interests like we did before, who would tempt us to go back and pursue our old ways. Father, help us all to be of the same mind as Jesus Christ. Grant us humility. Help us to humble ourselves before you, knowing that in due time, you will lift us up. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.